There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday, hour number two. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the hour, and you're a big part of the show. Text lines open, 343-0106. And I also want you all to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, man. There we are. There it is. I had to press the right button. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It is also a Friday, and that means it's also closer to next month. The 14th of next month, Valentine's Day.
yeah, and I also thought of something else as I was waiting there for you. Shortly after that is Mardi Gras, so
yes.
We're sort of in double jeopardy because we're going to have Valentine's and then we're going to do something stupid.
Right.
And by we, I am including you in that one, Sean.
Good idea.
We've known each other a long time now,
yep.
So think about that and plan for that. Valentine's Day is coming up, just a few weeks away, getting closer. So if you wanted to upgrade Mama's, you know, diamond ring with a really nice diamond, we've got some beautiful diamonds in stock. If you're thinking of getting engaged, great time to do that. Again, plenty of diamonds, plenty of rings in stock. Or if you just want to get a really nice, beautiful piece of jewelry to A, show her how much you love her over Valentine's Day, and B, maybe get a backup piece of jewelry for that Mardi Gras thing that's going to happen that hasn't happened yet,
mm-hmm.
You got to come down here and check it out. I mean, we have got so much jewelry in stock right now. I have trays of stuff in the safe I haven't even had a chance to look at. We've been that busy.
You talk about diamonds coming in. I mean, talk to me about that.
So everything from some half-carat diamonds, which are sort of a nice, you know, very affordable, even some smaller stones, quarter-carat, all the way up to, I think the biggest diamond we've got in stock right now is about a 1.5 or a 2-carat stone. Everything from round brilliant cuts to some marquees, just some really, really beautiful rings, really beautiful diamonds. And with a jeweler on staff that's been doing this over 30 years, if it's not exactly the way you want it, we can turn it into that perfect custom piece of jewelry for you.
All right. Give us some directions to come see you.
We're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590, or better yet, like and follow us on Facebook.
All right, Angelo. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. Speaking of Valentine's, it's a joke. But speaking of Valentine's Day.
Not to some people, is not.
That's right. That's true. It's true. Very true. Dalton, if this ends up being one of your 6.5 stories, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But I saw this and it stood out to me. Florida Sun Sentinel out of South Florida, Lauderdale, Dade County, Broward County, Dade County. It has a story on their website that an online survey shows. Is this going to mess you up?
No, not at all.
90% of male respondents in their online survey want sex for Valentine's Day.
Only 90%?
I fail to see how this is a news story on any level. I don't know. I mean, it's a newspaper, right? That's where you bring you news, things you didn't know.
Yes.
It's new information. It's news.
That would be under fact of the day.
90% of male respondents said they want sex for Valentine's Day. I guess the others will settle for chocolate or whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, hey, if you're going to put this up, Sun Sentinel, and say this is something that is news... make it news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it's like
common knowledge.
Survey shows sun rises in the east.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just point that out. All right, so that was not one of your 6.5 stories.
No, and I mean, it's fitting, though.
Okay,
I've got
just
plenty of Florida stories.
Good,
today.
Because it is time for 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. These are all those stories I missed this week that he didn't, and
yep.
He brings them to us on Fridays, which is great stuff.
Yeah, and I had to cut off the Florida stories this week to only three. And it's
there were more than three that were
so many. It's thank Florida's you, Florida. Truly just a treasure trove of
thank
these
you,
kinds
Florida.
Of stories. Like if you go to Google and type in Florida and hit the news tab, as many times as you can refresh that, that's how many new Florida man stories come out every single day.
I wonder if anybody has done this before, and because I have my theories, but why it is that Florida produces the high number of you got to be kidding me stories, you know?
I
the
think
Florida
it's
man
just,
stories. It's, is it a mix of the ages?
Mm-hmm, that's what
they're,
I was going to say. The perfect cauldron of criminals, good yeah. people, old people, young people, hot people, ugly people. I mean, you got everything in Florida. And then it's almost entirely surrounded by water. Maybe just the energy that's put off from the Gulf,
yeah.
from the East Coast. Maybe just that energy drives people in Florida to do crazy things.
Well, and by the way, we'll open up on the text line. If you have a theory why Florida is the font, it is the spring that springs eternal of these kind of stories. If you have a theory, you want to bear it out on the text line, 343-0106. Yeah. All right. So Florida, three pack of stories at least from Florida men.
Yeah, so we started off in Palm Beach. And this story actually began in December. And now we're getting some news from this December arrest that happened in Palm Beach, where police say that a man who last December drove a Ferrari into the Palm Beach Inlet did so because he claimed Jesus told him to.
Jesus took the wheel.
Okay. Yeah, just like Carrie Underwood. He pulled yes. a Carrie Underwood there with Jesus taking the wheel. 48-year-old James Musiaccio.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pretend that's how he says his name. I'm not sure.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, he was taking items out of his Ferrari while he was parked on a public dock. This happened back on December 26th, right after Christmas. An officer approached him saying, "What are you doing?" He told the officer that a friend of his told him to park on the dock so he could be picked up by boat. Okay.
Sounds shady. Okay.
A little shady. The officer said he couldn't park there. Musiaccio apologized, then went back to the vehicle to get his driver's license. So, because this is a police story, they did have a dash cam.
Okay.
The dash cam video shows Musiaccio getting into the Ferrari, reversing briefly, like he's going to leave the dock there, and then puts the sports car into drive and hits the gas and vroom vrooms straight into the water, right
Holy
into the
cow.
Palm Beach Inlet. Two fishermen, thankfully, in a nearby boat, saw what happened, jumped into the water, and rescued the guy. Officers asked him why he decided to drive into the water. He said that Jesus told him he needed to drive through the small gate on the dock and into a, quote, 6-foot window. I guess he was aiming for a specific part of this inlet. He said, "Jesus made me the smartest man on earth, and so it's hard to have this much responsibility. Money is going to be irrelevant in 2 days. Remember to smile."
Wow. Here's what bothers me the most about that story is that dude was in traffic with all of us. Not saying we're in Florida, but I mean, could be in traffic with you at any point.
Yeah,
that person was driving around, going through intersections.
With normal people driving around, trying to do normal people things.
Right, and then his take on it is that Jesus told him to drive the Ferrari right through. And, okay.
And then he provided some reasoning on behalf of Jesus.
He's smart. Oh, he did? Okay.
He said that Jesus told him to drive him to the water because he believed the officer on the dock was Egyptian and did not believe in Jesus. The driver was not injured in the incident.
Okay.
Those divers, though, that went back to the scene to grab the Ferrari, they put inflatable lift bags on the Ferrari, which lots of lift bags in Palm Beach, Florida, and raised it to the surface, towed it back to shore, and then in a smaller twist, the license plate that was attached to the Ferrari actually belonged to Musiaccio's Ford Mustang. So something pretty crazy going on there. I imagine they'll keep
Jesus probably told him to switch the plates, too.
I imagine he did. So next story out of Florida, the two-part of the three-pack.
Yes.
And this one goes under the dumb criminals category.
Okay.
Here. Okay, so a fugitive in Flagler County. He told Flagler County deputies that these guys arrived to the scene, had an active warrant for 40-year-old Jesse Pack.
Okay.
Jesse Pack is from Bunnell out of Volusia County.
Uh-huh.
And they were coming to get him for charges of kidnapping and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Well, the deputies arrived to his home on Sunday night, found a mattress with big red writing on it right in front of the door, like almost like he was writing in blood. But it was a big red marker that he wrote on this mattress, and it said, "I know my warrant is active. I am not here. I'm finishing a job and turning myself into Volusia Branch Jail."
Let me guess. He was there.
You're really good at these stories. And he even signed in the Big Red Riding Jesse Pack, his name on the end of it.
Right, because that'll throw law enforcement off the case.
Yeah, they turned around and, no, they went inside the home. Woman told deputies that he was not home, lying for him, and she granted them permission to search the house. They found Pack curled up into a fetal position inside of a small wooden dresser with a pillow. That wasn't all he had, though. Pack had a pack of cigarettes, fittingly, and a glass pipe with burnt residue. He told deputies he hid in the dresser when
now,
he heard...
No, you're not saying that this might be related to drugs, do you?
You know, I don't want to go out on a limb.
It would be such a shocker that somebody would be on drugs and make these bad decisions.
I don't want to smear Jesse Pack's good name.
Of course not.
I think drugs might have been involved. He said that when he heard the dogs barking, he hid in the dresser because he believed he was going to be arrested, and he did believe correctly there. The Flagler... County Sheriff
Flagler.
I'm going to get it right one of these days. Rick Staley, he's the sheriff. He said, ready or not, here we come. This guy clearly thought he could hide from our deputies, but this is not the first cat and mouse
game. Don't tell me there's law enforcement down there. Volusia County said, ready or not, here we come.
Hide and seek. He was taken into custody, and in addition to those charges, he was also charged with resisting arrest without violence and possession of drug paraphernalia. They took him into the Perry Hall inmate detention facility, being held on $1,000 bail for those charges.
All right, let's do a cliffhanger. We'll get part three of the Florida Man trilogy when we return.
Let's do it.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we'll do that and come right back. 117, this is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 121 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile Friday. I'm glad to have you along. Dr. Bill has a two-part weekend for us. Tomorrow, not so good. Rain, thunderstorms, the wind. Wind's going to be a component tomorrow coming out of the south, and then by Sunday it's going to be coming out of the north and doing what we used to say, blowing the dog off the chain. It's going to be blowing hard all weekend, but yeah, it's going to be a warm wind and moist tomorrow and then cold on Sunday with the coldest night of the winter so far, Sunday night into Monday. Hey, it is a Friday. That means we're doing 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. We're two into the trilogy of Florida Man stories for this week.
Yeah, we're on Florida story number three.
Okay.
This one doesn't have to do with criminals, but apparently Vieira, Florida has a red-tailed hawk problem.
Red-tailed hawk problem.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Like these kind of red-tailed hawks?
Yeah.
That sounds like a velociraptor more than it does a red-tailed hawk. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you got these two red-tailed hawks who have apparently been attacking people in the parking lot of a Holiday Inn in Vieira, Florida. And it's sent already more than a dozen people to hospitals with these attacks.
Wait a second. So the people are like parking the car, getting the wheeled luggage and heading on in, and all of a sudden... And red-tailed hawks coming down.
That's the last sound they hear before they get hit by these hawks.
Okay.
One woman who was hit said, "It just swooped down and attacked my head." That was Cindy Mara, who was walking into her job at the Chick-fil-A next door. So maybe they're angry about, I don't know, the chicken being served at the Chick-fil-A.
Or maybe she had like some kind of hair bow that looked like a squirrel. Have we thought about that logical?
That's very much a potential situation there. She said, "It jarred me, and I looked up and saw a bird flying away." That bird happened to be one of the two red-tailed hawks that had clawed the top of her head as she walked from the Holiday Inn parking lot. She said, and this news story has no, like, I don't know if she said it like this, but this is what it looks like. She said,
"Okay,
wow, that hurts. And I went inside, touched my head, washed my hands, and they were bloody." Just no exclamation points, no anything. But she was not the only person attacked by the breeding pair of hawks. Apparently, they'd built a nest in a nearby tree. That's mm-hmm. what hawks do. A wildlife trapper was called in. He said that 14 people were victims late last week. And they all went to a hospital. This one woman didn't have to get stitches, but some of the others did, including one man who had to get 17 stitches. The hawks really got him. And the wildlife trapper, James Dean,
His name's not James Dean.
His name is James Dean.
Okay.
He's with On Point Wildlife Removal. And I love the reasoning that he gave for helping to try to get rid of these hawks. He said, the Holiday Inn here, safety of their guests is their number one priority. Not just safety for the people in his county.
Their guests.
But because this was a Holiday Inn,
right.
He said, that's the reason we got on it quickly, like we did.
Yes.
He destroyed the nest with the help of a fire department ladder truck. And then Monday afternoon, though, at least one of the hawks was still flying around nearby. The woman who's been mentioned in the story, she said, I listen now when I'm walking to and from the car, listening for that noise exactly. I don't know what her plan is. I guess just curl up into a ball.
Just crawl under the car.
That's perfect. The red-tailed hawks, of course, protected under federal law, but the trapper said that he has permission from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to capture, remove, and release them into a wildlife conservation area.
They can't fly right back, I mean, if that's where they want to be. But birds, people get this idea that the birds are all, like, chilled out and not bothering anybody. Birds are bullies to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You have birds like hawks that are birds of prey. They're set up to catch things and eat them. That's their thing. That's what they do. Get a story about the people trying to feed, going down feeding ducks and geese down at Municipal Park.
Oh, man.
They're getting mobbed. My mom grew up on a farm. She still, to this day, has a fear of geese because the geese on the farm used to harass her as a child. So
I was bit by a goose as a child.
Really?
I was goosed, yep.
You were goosed?
That's correct.
How are you dealing with it now? You okay?
I'm fine, yeah. I've walked near geese, but I know they bite now.
Right.
So I watch out. And now I know red-tailed hawks, they're coming after you if they see you.
If you hear this...
Turn and run.
As many hawks as I've heard in my life, which is a bunch, that recording sounds more like what I think a velociraptor would sound like.
Oh, yeah, totally. I might start carrying some. If I go to Florida, I'm carrying a mouse in my pocket, throwing it in the air.
And then running. All right, so the trifecta of Florida Man stories. Can I add a Florida Man
please,
story to the
please,
mix?
And that would be five, because you led with the Florida story.
That's true. So I got one more, because even though there's tons more, because it's Florida.
Yeah.
And people have suggested here, because I asked, for y'all's theory on why we get so many stories out of Florida, mm-hmm. like wacky stories. It's warm, and homeless people walk there. There's a migration, so maybe that's it. But a lot of these people in the Florida Man stories, they got houses and stuff. So
they end up homeless.
It's true. Like this person. This is a story from News 10 in Miami. A Florida man claimed ignorance when jail officials found syringes in his... It's 1:30, isn't it? Rectum.
Oh, no.
During an early morning strip search.
That's the last place I would want to
syringes and rectum. But don't worry, it gets better. Wesley Scott, 40 years old, was arrested in Pinellas County on outstanding warrant, charging him with drug possession. When Scott was searched at the jail, the officers found three syringes inside his rectum. However, Scott claimed, here's the twist for me.
Oh.
Scott claimed that he had found the syringes and they weren't his.
Mm-hmm. Plausible.
He didn't have a real good reason for law enforcement why he had put them in himself. Scott was charged with introducing contraband into a correctional facility and had held on a $5,000 bond. So he was arrested, and he said, I know they're in my rectum, mm-hmm. but they're not mine. I found these syringes.
Crazy. He introduced the contraband to more than just the correctional facility.
Well said. All right, so that was a little kicker story for Florida.
Great. So now we move to Pittsburgh. Where there's another smooth criminal.
Well, there's a lot of people from Pittsburgh that moved to Florida, but yeah, go ahead.
That's right. Well, in this story, you got a 21-year-old man from Pittsburgh. His name, Malik Mollett, just rolls off the tongue there.
Sure.
Police say that he booked an Uber ride near Pittsburgh in late December, but after leaving that Uber, he left behind a bag with some valuable cargo inside.
Okay.
Trooper Steve Lamani, which it never ends well for the criminal when the trooper is given the quote, he said he contacted Uber later through email and had asked them to somehow get him back this item, the bag.
Okay.
Mollett's Uber driver was getting ready to return the bag to the man, but looked inside and found 2 pounds of marijuana. Police say that had a street value in the thousands. Of course it did. the trooper said when the Uber driver looked in the bag, he realized that he'd been toting around a bunch of marijuana that's sealed and packaged inside of the bag, and he was supposed to deliver it to the person that left his vehicle. So instead of giving it back to the man, the Uber mm-hmm. driver called police, and that's when police set up the sting. Troopers found Mollett's number in the Uber records and reached out to him, pretending to be the driver, even sent him a picture of the bag to ensure that it was his. So the man agreed to meet up with an undercover trooper at a McDonald's so he could retrieve his bag. When the trooper returned the bag, police said that Mollett seemed excited and happy to get it back, not realizing who was actually behind the delivery. The trooper said, "I think he even made a reference to how much of this did you guys smoke?" And the undercover officer that we had dropping it off said they did not consume any of his marijuana. If he said it like that, I imagine the guy would be on. "We did not consume any of your marijuana." Police say that Mollett acknowledged to the trooper that the bag was his, and the other undercover officers in the restaurant then took him into custody.
You know, he could have avoided that whole problem if he would have put the marijuana in his rectum.
Yeah, 2 pounds of it.
And he said, "Like, it's not mine. I found it. I was getting it for safekeeping, bringing it to y'all. I just decided to put it in my backside."
I think he should have tried that. Next time he'll give that a shot. Right. I think we can get to one more before the break here. This one's from Petersburg, Kentucky.
Okay.
And this is a story about a Grinch up there in Kentucky. Kentucky homeowner Cody Lutz was building a massive snowman. We're talking 3 snowballs high here in his home in northern Kentucky. He built it right outside of the home. And I guess this person who doesn't like people to have fun, doesn't like them building snowmen, tried to run over this massive snowman and destroy it.
And they're going to plow over Frosty.
Yeah, he was going to plow over Frosty. Unknowingly, though, he had no idea that Frosty was built on a massive tree stump to help hold him up. And
that's awesome.
I think his vehicle ran into the tree stump. He must have made it away from the scene because they didn't arrest anyone. But
right.
I think parts of the vehicle were left behind. The guy who built it, Lutz, he said, "I went to work on Monday, and I came home to this on Monday night," which the irony is pretty funny. Someone saw the soon-to-be creation and tried to break Frosty with the front end of their truck. They quickly realized their mistake when they plowed away the snow, and it showed the massive tree stump sitting there.
All right, so beware before you go vandalized. You might have a tree stump in there.
Yeah, karma.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. The car all messed up, too. Yeah, right. We'll check in with Dr. Bill's forecast, Westwood One News, and coming right back, more of 6.5 Stories on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, rolling on. It is Midday Mobile on a Friday. That means we're getting our 6.5 story on. As we go through all that stuff that I missed during the week, but it didn't evade Dalton. Although, I got to say, I mean, my Florida Man story, he didn't have that.
No. Didn't even know about it.
Syringes in the backside, so I'm going to point that out. All right, so where are we on our list?
Story number 6 here.
Okay.
And we go to Canada, where we got a battle of brewing.
Okay.
A moose battle, actually.
Okay.
So Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. That city's been known for having the tallest moose for a very long time. The tallest moose in the world. It's called Mac the Moose.
Mac the Moose.
Yeah, it's a statue of a moose.
Okay.
And it's held the record for the world's tallest moose statue at almost 10 meters tall. It's held that record for decades. But they've got a problem now because a city in Norway put up a silver moose statue between its capital of Oslo and Trondheim, and it narrowly edges out the height of Mac the Moose by 30 centimeters. So 10 meters, that's about 33 feet for us Americans, and I guess 10 centimeters, you're looking at just a little bit over 33 feet. But now Tourism Moose Jaw, the company that tries to get people to come up to Canada.
That has Mac the Moose, right?
That has Mac the Moose. They've launched a campaign asking for suggestions on how the city can win back the title.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ideas, the local CFL team, football team, they're saying to put a Saskatchewan Rough Riders helmet on top of Mac the Moose's head.
That would make sense, yes.
That would probably do it. But they're getting word from Norway that some of the people there are aware of their campaign and are prepared to battle.
Ooh.
With Moose Jaw.
This is escalating.
Keep raising the height of their moose statue. Moose Jaw Mayor Fraser Tolmie, he said he's taken the fight personally, noting that his family has a connection to Mac because it was actually named after his wife's great uncle and a former city councilor, Les McKenzie.
Okay.
And I love the quote from the mayor. He said,
"Of course the last name's McKenzie. I mean, could it get more Canadian?" Okay.
It does. He says, "There are some things you just don't do to Canadians. You don't water down their beer.
Uh-huh.
You don't tell them that they can't put maple syrup on their pancakes. And you don't mess with Mac the Moose."
I get it. I get the song. Yes.
He said, "The Norwegians purposely built a moose bigger than ours, but we're going to be dignified and we are going to win." One longtime resident of Moose Jaw, Clayton Boyer, he said that regaining the title is imperative for their city. He said, "I think we've lost a little bit of our sparkle," which I'm not sure how much sparkle Moose Jaw had to begin with. "People in the community have done what people in all communities do when something like like this happens, started a GoFundMe page.
Good, good.
With the goal of raising $50,000 towards whatever addition is decided for the statue. Tourism Moose Jaw notes that Mac weighs 9,000 kilograms and has been luring visitors.
Can we get these stories in English measurements?
Mm-hmm. What is 9,000 kilograms?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, this whole thing is in metric, and I have now gotten to the point that I'm now old enough that I maybe might be able to, even though they taught us the metric system in school, I have forgotten a lot of it. And,
me too.
And I would like to think that at 46, I'm close enough to the end here that I don't have to learn the metric system.
Well, I did the work. Actually, Google did the work. 9,000 kilograms. That's about 20,000 pounds.
Okay.
Talking about a 20,000-pound moose
okay.
here. They said it's been luring people to their city since 1984, and it's such a big deal, actually. Back in 2013, Mac the Moose won the award for Moose Jaw's Best Celebrity.
You know what I like is these stories, because in a time when, whether you're looking here stateside or what's going on with Theresa May and the Brexit vote in United Kingdom, or what's going on around the world, these heady stories, I mean, Lord knows what's going on in the Middle East and the loss of our soldiers. Now, it's nice to have a story about two cities competing to who has the tallest moose. I'm serious. There's something, and I appreciate that on a Friday as kind of a weekend brain palate cleanser to have some story about warring municipalities trying to have a bigger moose. There's something heartwarming about
it. I do like that. Do you think their local news leads off with that news? Breaking news, eh? we've raised Mac the Moose. We are now 30 more centimeters taller.
Let's go out live to McKenzie, who's out here wearing his heavy jacket and his fur-lined boots and his fur-lined parka, and he'll tell us more.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with Mac the Moose. He's a bit taller than you might remember.
That's right.
Yeah, I do like that. It makes our problems seem a little bit smaller, I guess.
Cities worrying over who has the tallest moose. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That brings us to story number 6.5, okay. Where kind of like a discussion question or a fill-in-the-blank.
Mad Libs.
A Mad Lib, which my mom, she gave me for Christmas, a bunch of Mad Libs. So I've been sitting at home.
I knew I liked your mom. Mad Libs used to be one of the most amusing things I did as a child.
But you have to do the Mad Libs with somebody with a fun, creative mind.
Yes.
You know, or else it's not fun.
That's true.
So this story comes from Kentucky. We've already had one Kentucky story. But now a company in Kentucky that is making slippers on demand to look just like blank.
So this is the part, y'all, and you get on the text line if you want to at 343-0106. You want to text us in your what you would fill in here. So a company in Kentucky,
you tell them that you want your slippers to look like blank, and they will make them specifically for you.
I want them to look like blank. There's a lot of, slippers as a genre are chock full of goofy stuff. Like like shoes don't have nearly the amount of stuffed animal looking things like slippers get.
Right. Very customizable.
But slippers, I mean, if somebody's going to show their whimsy, Dalton, they do it in a pair of slippers. I've never had a pair of slippers. I've just wear socks or something.
I've got some UGG slippers, actually. The wife got me some UGG slippers, and I scoffed at them at first. I was like, I've got some, $15 Walmart slippers to do the job, but I've gone back on that now.
Where do you wear the, as we're letting people get there, where do you wear your slippers? Do you wear them into the yard?
I wear them around the house. I don't take
them
into the yard.
You wear them to Walmart? Do you go to Walmart in your slippers?
I don't go out in public in my slippers.
Okay.
When I'm taking the trash to the side of the road, I will wear the slippers.
So you wear, so they will go out of the house at some point?
Yeah, on occasion. But then I clean off the bottom.
Do you have a robe?
I've got one, but I've never worn it. It sits in the bathroom, and I haven't worn it.
I had one in the past, I think, but I've never worn one. Like slippers and robes, I know that's great. It's like I've just never had enough time in my life for things like slippers and robes. But they make these slippers to look like...
This is a pretty
tough,
easy one, I think.
A pair of bare feet.
That'd be good. That would be really good.
A pair of bare feet with hair coming out of them.
Ooh, like some Bigfoot slippers.
That's my guess. All right, let's see what they said here. The hooves.
Ooh.
So is it hooves? Bourbon bottles.
That's pretty good from Kentucky.
F-150s.
Some Transformers.
That's right. And All right, so those are some of our guests. I know some kids here. Some I can't read either.
But those are the best. That would have to go on the podcast.
Okay, so what?
Okay,
yeah.
So the answer is this company in Kentucky now offering slippers that look exactly like your dog or cat.
Yeah. Like, wait a second. Like their feet or like the actual dog or cat?
Like the actual dog or cat.
So you've killed the dog or cat. You've mm-hmm. hollowed them out.
Right, yep.
And now you're using them to kind of like they put Luke inside the Tauntaun in Empire Strikes Back to keep him warm through the night, that you have sacrificed your pets to keep your feet warm as you walk the trash out there mm-hmm. at the house.
And this has so many possibilities. You can make your dog or cat go so crazy by having a mirror image of them on your feet. They'll think that you got two more dogs or two more cats. The company's called Cuddle Clones.
It says pets are stupid. Okay, huh?
They are very stupid. They're called Cuddle Clones. Okay. That's the name of this company. And their press release, which this TV station clearly just copied their press release, says Cuddle Clones recognizes the unbreakable bond that pet moms and dads have with their fur children. Mm-hmm. Now, normally when I see the word fur children, I mean, that's a term used often on Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm.
On Nextdoor.
Oh, yes.
Get your
yes.
fur babies.
Yes.
Get your fur children. They say the company strives to capture everything that makes your pet unique and recreate it in a plush replica. Now, one of the things that makes my pet unique is the scooting. So I guess you could do that with the scooters.
Oh, that's not unique.
With the slippers if you like.
Scooting along with your slippers.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a second. Uh-huh. So these are, you send them a picture?
You send them a picture of your dog or cat, and they will cuddle clone it up, and it'll be on your feet in mere days. They partnered with greatergood.org, so every purchase you have provides 3 meals and a toy to a shelter pet. I guess that's pretty cool. And you can own your very own pair of clone slippers. Let's stretch this out a little bit. How much do you think it costs for a pair of cuddle clone slippers? One pair.
If it's a dollar, it's immoral. I would say they're $25.
The low price of $199.
Holy cow.
You can wear your pet on your foot. I know some people that have barking dogs, they wear their pet on their foot pretty often.
Just on top of my foot as I'm launching them. Okay, so if there was ever, you have maybe arrived at the polar opposite of me. You always wonder what your polar opposite is.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'm like, you know, I'm a guy that lives in the world of gray. I don't see a lot of things as polar opposite. That gift right there
yeah.
may be the farthest thing away from me on planet Earth.
Really?
That would be, if you're looking for the item that is, that would probably be the least.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say for my wife, one of her Christmas gifts.
The cuddle clones?
I got my dog, a picture of him screened onto a blanket.
It's pretty strong.
It was partially so I could keep her warm, you know, give
right,
her the blanket,
right.
But also so I could mess with the dog, kind of like a bull, like a matador
yes.
with the bull, and I could get him to run into himself. That
does he
does
do
work.
It? Does
yeah,
he do
oh,
it?
Yeah. He does it all the time. He doesn't
well,
know
now,
the difference.
That might be worth doing.
It's perfect. A lot of fun.
That's almost as much fun as putting a piece of scotch tape on a cat's paw.
That's awesome, too. They say they're 100% handmade, by the way.
Of course they are. Yeah, sure. And they're how much?
$199. You'll be happy with them. A 4.93 star out of 5.
There you go. There it is. 6.5 stories. And the cuddle clone slippers. I think the pets think that you found another pet and you hollowed them out and now you're wearing them as shoes and they're like, man, we better not screw up. Look what happened to those two. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And great to have a new face from some old friends visiting us right here in studio. Ruth Lichtenfield from Taylor Martino. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, you are the new kid on the block at Taylor Martino.
I am. I'm the new kid who's not the youngest kid on the block at Taylor Martino, but I'm delighted to be there.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. We were chatting a little bit before we went on here, and I got to get talk about your story as well, because you talked about age, but non-traditional, we'll say.
Very non-traditional.
Student, right?
Yes, correct.
Which I love, because when you hear somebody's a non-traditional student, means they have great passion for what they're doing. When they decide to do something at a later point in life, that takes a lot to change you know, what you've been doing in the past.
Yes, it does. And to be honest, I'm not sure I could do it again. But as I was saying earlier, I've been a registered nurse since 1980. I just renewed my Alabama registered nurse license. I worked my way through college. I was the first person in my family to attend college, and that license was exceptionally hard to obtain. And so I'm keeping that license, though I don't plan to practice nursing anymore. But I had always had a lifelong dream to attend law school. And my husband and I, Norman Lichtenfeld, who was a local orthopedic surgeon, were married 31 years before he died. But our son in 2012 graduated from college, and my husband and I had made a plan that when our son graduated from college, I would go to law school.
So wait a second. So you have decades as a registered nurse. You're doing this, which is a lot of learning, like you said, and a lot of work there. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, Ruth, you decide I'm gonna get my law degree here.
Well, I actually had always planned to be a lawyer, but back in the 70s when I was in college, I had a political science professor who said, women don't really belong in law. You'll probably never get in, and you shouldn't really change your major. And he really meant that. That was the 70s. I graduated college in 1980, so this was probably 1977, and I didn't know any better. I didn't have any mentors. My family, my parents were wonderful parents, children of the Depression. They did not have any opportunities for education themselves, but they really were passionate about their children being educated. And so when I don't want to mention the professor's name, I'm sure he's long since deceased, but when he told me that, I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I sincerely just believe that was the way, but I never stopped dreaming of being a lawyer, never. And when my husband and I married in 1985, he knew my plan was to one day attend law school. But once we had a child, of course, mm-hmm. you have to relocate temporarily to attend law school if you live in Mobile.
Right.
And so I did not want to leave my child behind. I did not want to leave my husband behind. And I also didn't want to separate my child from my husband to sit with a babysitter while I went to law school. So we just decided the best plan would be for me to wait till he graduated. And honestly, that was exactly the right plan for our family. And I'm very happy it worked out that way.
I tell you what, this is what's amazing. And if you're just joining us, talking to Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino, a lot of people make promises like that. But you then, decades later, came and did it. I mean, not just made the promise, I mean, you did it. You followed up. And it's just impressive here. You go to law school, not only, and she's not going to tell you this, but I'll tell you this because I found out. She finished law school in 2.5 years. You got to be kidding me. You can't be kidding me. 2.5 years at the University of Alabama. You know, that's a program that takes people every hour of their day in 3 years, and you did it in 2.5. Hats off. Amazing. And at the same time, I want just one thing here, because at the same time, I also was told that you weren't just going to law school. You were working on what?
Oh, I also earned an LLM in taxation at the same time.
Gosh, can you come give a talk to my children, please? I need you to come by. So it's obvious to me. It's obvious to me why Ed and the whole crew and Richard and everybody at Taylor Martino wanted you as part of the team. Obviously, no matter what you would be doing out there, somebody that has your dedication, that shines through. Why'd you want to be part of their team?
Well, Taylor Martino, I'm tremendously impressed by those gentlemen and all of the staff. We have 8 lawyers there, and all of them, not only Steve Martino, Richard Taylor, and Ed Rowan, but the other lawyers and the paralegals, office manager, the business manager, they're tremendous people. They're passionate advocates for their clients. They're kind. They care about people who have been injured by the negligence of others. And they really mean it. And they live their lives in that fashion. It's really something that they're just driven to do. They're called to do, I think. And as a registered nurse, I've always been a passionate advocate for people in need. And as I tell people when they ask me why I changed professions, it's really very similar. You encounter people when they need your help. You figure out what their problems are. You make a plan to help them. But in the law, you just apply a different body of knowledge. It's the exact same process. To me, you start with caring about the person. It's the same in the nursing profession and the legal profession. And the gentlemen and the women at Taylor Martino really care about their clients first and foremost. And I'm very attracted to that. And I really wanted to be part of that team. Can I back up and say one thing before we leave the law school? I could not have done that without the support of my husband, but also my son, Alex. They were tremendous, tremendous support for me. And you really can't make that journey by yourself.
Yeah, well, it takes a group of people to support. But Ruth, you did it. I mean, RN that gets a law degree in 2.5 years while getting your master's in taxation. I mean, is there anything else that you can't do? I don't think it exists. So I'm thinking if I'm somebody that has a need out there for representation, if you were wondering if you had somebody who was going to hustle on your part, I think it's been proven. And what about that with your nursing background? Mm-hmm. You're going to look at cases, I imagine, through a perspective that I don't know how many people that have your qualifications being an RN and a lawyer exist. I mean, you have a specific way to look at things that I don't think many people can.
Well, I agree that I do have a unique perspective, but I also want to say that I'm so impressed with the medical knowledge of the people with whom I work. They know as much about medicine as probably anybody who
doesn't. So you can talk shop with them? Y'all can talk shop?
Yeah, of course. They're very, very smart. But they learn whatever the issues are. They learn all about it, the problems people are going to have in the future, not only how the injury occurred from the negligence of others, but also the effect on the person, their not only their body, but their family life, you know, their future earning potential. I mean, they look at the whole picture, and they're highly skilled at that. They're really great advocates for their clients.
Well, Ruth, you've sold me. I mean, if you need an advocate, you have a whole group of people at Taylor Martino and the new kid on the block that has more degrees than some whole counties. I really appreciate this. Ruth Lichtenfeld, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or any of the crew at Taylor Martino, how do we do it?
Our phone number is 251-433-3131. And my personal email address is Ruth, R-U-T-H, at TaylorMartino.com.
Thank you for your inspiring story. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.